The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to part two of our Saturday morning live and local lineup, where we kick it off with the George Brockler Show, often starring Jimmy Sangenberger, and we take you live all the way up to noon. Your phone calls at 303-696-1971, 696-1971. I'm Randy Corcoran. It's been 3 weeks since I've had a chance to sit in this chair. And I can hear you now. That's been a good thing. But I really miss you. It is such relief to get to a Saturday morning and have some conversation, talk about what's happening, hear from you and see what's going on in your world. And things are accelerating so fast. There's just that much to talk about. And we're going to do an awful lot of that today at 303-696-1971. First thing, though, OMG. Oh, actually, the first thing is big kudos and thanks to Dr. Matt Dunn from Backbone Radio for stepping in and filling in over the last couple of weeks. I really appreciated it. And it sounds like the show was on fire. I checked in last Saturday from the Council on National Policy 40-year anniversary meeting, weekend, retreat down at the Broadmoor, which I was invited to by my friend Jenny Beth Martin. Loved it. We'll talk about that a little bit. And but it just sounds like, you know, Dr. Dunn at the end of the weekend on Sunday nights and me almost kicking off your weekend here at 9 o'clock on Saturdays, really the only opportunity that you get to hear a different take on the allegedly stolen election, on the status of Republican politics and whether we should be doing battle with our culture, identifying and defining the fact that we are at a point in the history of our country where it's one direction or the other, or just continue to sort of, you know, moderate on policy and try and hold back the leftist lurch of the overexuberant and temporarily in control Democrats as we march ahead toward 2022. And so it's good to have those mixed voices. And I love that, at least live and local. It's good to have those mixed voices. And I love that 710 KNUS continues to make that possible. I heard my promo as I was coming in. I was listening to Jimmy. And the only thing I can say is, sorry, talk about a zombie promo. I mean, the big boss, Kelly Michaels, is here. He's running the show this morning. And I would just say, if you get a promo like that, take it off. Just get rid of it. Because here's what I sounded like. Hey, everybody, I'm back Saturday. Yeah. More on election, more on Republicans, more on CSAT. I mean, really, it was a zombie promo, and I apologize for it. And I'll explain why it sounded like that in a minute. But Kelly, next time, just pull it. Man, that's an embarrassment. That is an embarrassment. It's been a heck of a week, and I'm going to go back a little further before just this last week in just a second. But the thing that is biggest on my mind, it was so exciting this week. 710 KNUS just manages to pull off some of the best events for freedom-loving Americans in the entire region. And Dennis Prager showed up in town, and they had this cigar event out at the, what's it called, the View House, I think. View House, and it was phenomenal. It was packed, had this private patio, private rooms in the back of this massive, massive, basically sports bar and restaurant, excellent place. And it was just so good to get in there with other freedom-loving Americans. I sat down at a table that included a doctor and a retired entrepreneur, probably the wrong way to describe, but I don't want to identify people that might not want to be identified. my friend Rich Wyatt, who the more I get to know, the more I absolutely love. And the conversation was amazing. I loved hearing from this doctor about things like, you know, let's say ivermectin. You know, the horse tranquilizer that's designed for ringworm. And what it actually does inside the body if it's given in advance of serious symptoms of the Chinese Communist Party Wuhan virus. People who were excited to hear Dennis Prager, who really pulls no punches anymore. He defines the situation we're in. We're no longer in a political tussle. We are in a cultural war. And we're at a tipping point in this cultural war. And so it's very, very important that at least some people are willing to say so. And I'll tell you what, at that cigar party on what was it, Wednesday night, that was a mass, hundreds of people who, from the ones that came up to me, and thank you, by the way, for everybody who came up and said, stay strong, stay in the fight, love what you do, listen every Saturday. Not one person came up and said, hey, idiot, hey, crazy, back down. That is the listenership to 710 KNUS, and it really meant the world to me. And I hated that I had to leave early. I was having such a good time. And, you know, Peter was there, and of course, I understood why he had to leave early. He gets up at 3 and does 4 hours of radio 5 days a week. But normally, I could have stayed to enjoy that. But on this, naturally, on this one particular day, first opportunity I'd had to sit down with fellow patriots and relax, had a great free cigar and a nice drink and great food and Dennis Prager and these conversations that were so heartwarming to me to know there are so many of you out there who are understanding what we're in the midst of and are continuing to find different ways to stay in this fight. And I didn't want to go. But I literally had to be up at 2 o'clock in the morning on Thursday. And the reason for that is because some of you may have seen the Fox and Friends interview that we did on Wednesday morning with one of our police officers who will be losing his job soon. He's not taking the jab. And he'll actually join us here on the show in about 17 minutes, Jonathan Christian. But after the court hearing on Tuesday, which we may talk about a little bit later on, Fox reached out and said, hey, we'd like to interview you guys, and said, okay. And they came to the office. That's great. On Wednesday morning, had to meet them at 4:45 for a 5:40 or 5:45 live hit on Fox and Friends. That didn't seem too bad. That's kind of in line with my normal schedule. But on that Wednesday morning interview, I mentioned another guest that we'll be talking with later on in the show, and that is Officer Jose Manriquez, who, if you listened 3 weeks ago, last time I was here, we had him on, 34-year-old, father of four, had full-blown COVID last year, real sick, got well, healthy guy, runner, athlete, super active, you know, coaches or attends the kids' soccer games, and just a hands-on guy who took the jab because he could not afford to lose his job. In spite of, you know, having the antibodies and, again, a full-blown case of COVID, which the science tells us creates the best immunity for anybody, took the jab on August 22nd, has barely been able to walk since, started noticing the symptoms right away. Within a week, driving home from work, he literally had to call for help. His hands are shaking. He's falling over. It's a horrible situation. We're going to talk about ways maybe we can help him when he joins us in the 11 o'clock hour. But I mentioned him on Fox and Friends on that Wednesday morning interview. And immediately when the show was over, I got a call and said, hey, can we talk to that guy? And so we scheduled an interview, and Fox and Friends, I guess, I haven't seen it, but I guess they made it their feature story, so it had to be in the first hour of the show. So the night of this wonderful Dennis Prager 710 KNUS cigar event with fellow patriots that I could have stayed at till midnight, I have to get up at 2 o'clock the next morning to be down at my office by 3:30 to let this film crew in for a 4:30 interview. And so, you know, life is just simply not fair. And that's just all there is to it. And if you're interested in seeing that, I tweeted it. My wife posted it up, I guess, sometime yesterday, and I saw it this morning. So I tweeted it out. I put it on my Facebook page, Wake Up with Randy Corcoran Facebook, Republican National Committee Facebook, Law Offices of Randy Corcoran Facebook. You really ought to see Officer Jose Manriquez, see his story, hear his story, and you'll hear from him again in the 11 o'clock hour. So it's been quite a week, but let me go back a couple of weeks because that was the first Saturday that I was out and Dr. Dunn came in, and that was for the Republican Central Committee meeting down in Pueblo. And of course, the big, all of the big run-up to that was the effort by about a third of the Republicans involved in the Central Committee to opt out of, not of the primary, opt out of the open primary. And, you know, I got down there and we had a couple of resolutions that we had planned to bring forward, which we did successfully after the vote on the opt out. And they were crafted, you know, sort of in a way, depending on the success of the vote to opt out and all of that. But what was shocking to me was first of all, let me say, Christy Burton Brown, great meeting. Everybody had an opportunity to be heard. Business was conducted. A lot got done in a relatively, it was a long day, but a relatively short meeting. This was a meeting with paper ballots, you know, no more electronic ballots, as many of us on the executive committee and in the central committee had asked for, almost virtually demanded. But yet, in spite of all that, the meeting went really, really well. And the conversations on both sides of the opt-out issue, for the most part, were pretty civil, sometimes pretty intense. But I had one experience that just shocked me. It was pretty early in the morning, and some guy walked in. I didn't know who he was. And I just walked up. I had my Republican National Committee man nameplate on and walked up. I wanted to share this resolution that we were going to bring after the opt-out vote. And man, oh, man, he's just... Stop me, Cole. I know who you are. Okay. Well, I wanted to tell you, I don't want to hear it. Well, wait a minute. You don't want to hear what? The anger and the, I wouldn't say violence. It felt like maybe it could have turned violent. I don't know. But, just really vitriolic, you know, walk away from me. So I did. And I thought about it and, spotted him again, I don't know, 30, 40 minutes later. And I thought, you got to take another run at this guy because I don't get it. Most of the conversations I had, maybe you saw the debate George Brockler and I had, you know, it was friendly. It was obviously different viewpoints. But the vast majority of the conversations I had with folks on either side of the opt-out issue were just fine. They were just normal conversations. So I just had to go back over and try and see what was up with this guy. And I think he was from the Western Slope or maybe down in Southern Colorado. But regardless, he would not have a conversation. In fact, he said something along the lines of, you want us to vote to pay you money to challenge this lawsuit. And I just thought, OMG, if my law firm got involved in that, it would be, and I would do it, it's so important. But if my law firm got involved in that, it would be a loss. It would not be a money maker of any kind. I'd be donating time. I'd be donating resources. I'd certainly get paid some reduced rate, I'm sure. But, you know, that's not my bread and butter. My bread and butter is our criminal practice, our family law practice, our civil practice, which is still thriving, by the way. It's trying to find time to get into all of this political stuff that's so difficult. But he literally would not hear a thing. And then there was someone else who came up to me that I really respect. And this really, this hurt a little bit because she said that, you know, I voted for you as Republican National Committee man, and I'm very disappointed in your position. But the good thing about that honesty is it opened up the possibility of a conversation. And we got to talking about the actual motive for pushing the opt-out. Obviously, I would have loved to opt out, and only about a third of the Central Committee voted to do that. So it was a smaller number than I expected. But the ultimate goal was to make people totally aware of this insane statute that flowed out of Prop 108 that locks both parties, Republicans and Democrats, into this strict process that allows everybody to play in each other's primary. And we've got to put a stop to that. We need Republicans choosing Republican candidates. And if people aren't interested enough to become Republicans, then, you know, they can leave us to our work and then vote for the candidate they like in the general election. So the ultimate goal was to get rid of this unconstitutional law. And when we took a vote after the failed vote on opting out, it was virtually unanimous to instruct the party to take on the litigation to challenge this unconstitutional statute that locks us into this ridiculous and dangerous, especially to Republicans, open primary process. Unanimous. So even though the establishment Republicans and really, I guess, the majority of Republicans had bought into the idea that if we opt out of the Republican or the open primary, we are just screwed, blued, and tattooed. And I don't necessarily buy that argument, but many of those folks did. Virtually without a no vote, everybody says we've got to get out of this unconstitutional, unfair, and micromanaged primary system and get back to Republican primaries being for Republicans. So that's going to be where we put our pressure on now. That is to put pressure on the party to follow the mandate of the executive committee, the central committee, to move forward with that, looking for ways to get it funded, people who can do it, all of those things. It was very, very exciting. But to wrap up on the woman who approached me and said, you know, I voted for you and I'm disappointed in your stand on this, because she was honest, had she respected me enough to come up and tell me how she really felt, which just heightened my already high respect for her, we were able to have a conversation about it. And we found that we got to the same place. We all agree that that statute has got to go. So that's a good and healthy way that these debates and these arguments can happen. And overall, it was an incredibly successful Central Committee meeting. And I take my hat off to Christy Burton Brown, Priscilla Ron, Marilyn Harris, and everybody down the line who put that thing together and made it run so very, very well. Man, there's a lot more I want to get into. I want to tell you about my first visit. I had barely even heard of the Center on National Policy. And it was their 40th anniversary retreat at the Broadmoor. Jenny Beth Martin invited me down, and I was so glad I went. And I will tell you more about that as the show goes on. We're getting close to a break. We've got some calls. I think we'll try and squeeze a couple in before we take the break. But I do want you to stick around, because Denver Police Officer Jonathan Christian, and I haven't spoken with him since the Fox and Friends interview on Wednesday morning. We've texted a little bit, but I don't know what's happened. Has he gotten his letter? Is he now under discipline? We'll just get updated with him here in about 7 to 10 minutes. But right now, let's see. Looks like Melinda. Well, we like ladies first anyway. So Melinda in Fort Collins, thanks for waiting. Good morning and welcome to the show.
Hi there. Can you hear me okay?
Yep, you're good.
Great. Well, Mr. Corcoran, I'm really honored that you could take my call right now. I appreciate it very much. I am a healthcare provider in Northern Colorado. I'm an advanced practice nurse. I work with a private group who contracts with a large hospital system, UC Health. My group has kind of pushed the mandate responsibilities and saying we fall under everything UC Health is ordering as far as vaccine goes. And so I was able to get a religious exemption through UC Health for the vaccine, thank goodness. But now our next hurdle right now is they are requiring twice weekly PCR testing in order to comply to maintain my privileges.
And masking, I assume. That's what Denver is requiring of its police, fire, and other city employees and contractors. Go ahead.
Correct. And everybody's wearing a mask in health facilities
good,
right now
good
anyway.
Good point,
but
yeah.
So that's not, I mean, I don't really have a problem with that. But the PCR testing, I have requested a religious exemption from PCR testing. I feel like it is completely invasive and I am not willing to do that to my body, because we know that there are risks involved with the tests as well. But They have rejected my, I asked for an accommodation. I asked, can we do a screening instead? So what they did before, as far as temperature checks and symptom checks, and they denied me and said that I'm still required, in order to protect the staff and patients from unvaccinated people, we are still going to be required twice weekly testing that have to be 72 hours apart. If you miss,
so let's move to the, let's cut to the chase here. What is your concern about the PCR testing? I certainly have plenty of my own.
Okay. Well, it is under, is used under EUA status still. So we know that it's not reliable, and there are lots of false positives. And other things that I'm learning as far as the chemicals that are actually in the tests, we know that they're causing issues, other health issues for people.
Yeah, cancer is one of them.
Yeah.
There's a host of concerns about this. For Denver employees, it's testing, PCR testing every 5 days, whether you're at work, on vacation, on leave,
correct,
out sick,
yep,
or whatever.
Yeah.
And at your own expense. I know that you can get these tests for free a lot of places, but... you know, it's just, so sum it up, as since we're near the break, at the break, sum it up. What are you going to do?
What's my next step?
Okay. Well, you know, to get into an individual situation, I mean, we are handling these on a massive scale right now at the law offices of Randy B. Corporan. I would just, you know, call in on Monday or go to our website, corporanlaw.com, and send me an inquiry. I don't think it's fair to the audience to try and, you know, bust down into individual decisions that may be applicable to your situation and not applicable to others. So, but I understand, Melinda, we are overwhelmed with these kinds of calls right now. And it's a terrifying time to live in what used to be a free country. Is it not?
Correct. Oh, absolutely.
Thanks for waiting this morning. We do appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Randy.
All right. You bet. That's Melinda. The only open line we've got, 303-696-1971, 696-1971. I'm going to go ahead and push just a little longer, if you don't mind, Kelly, to squeeze Jack in since he's been waiting so long. Jack, good morning.
Yeah, Randy, I haven't talked to you in a while. I got a huge, huge constitutional problem with this mandate. Anybody that wants to mandate somebody getting this vaccine, getting the vaccine also includes signing a hold harmless, which waives your rights to recover for damages should the vaccine make you sick, like you said this police officer has. By what right or benefit does anybody have to mandate somebody to subordinate their constitutional rights to recovery from damages? That's the question.
Well, and I'm not sure people are signing anything. I mean, these jabs are just getting poked without the mandatory warnings, without the mandatory signing of releases. Have you seen anybody actually signing something before they take the jab?
I've been told that you have to sign a release, a hold harmless, when you get the injection. I haven't gotten the injection. I don't plan to ever get the injection, but that's what I've been. That's what I understand. In other words, once you get that injection, you have no right to recourse to the courts for damages if your health is affected.
Jack,
by this injection, you have no recourse.
Yeah, your phone signal has busted up on us, but I get your point. Thank you very much for the call. And this is why I've been sounding the alarm. Not anti-vax, anti-propaganda, anti-coercion, anti-relinquishing your rights. When you hear, if you don't know the story of Denver police officer Jose Manriquez, when you hear it again at 11 o'clock on this show, if nothing else, I hope it gives you pause, that you don't just jump in and say, oh, it's okay. The scientists say so. The government says it's okay. I want to keep my job. Everything needs to be, you know, smooth in my life. I just can't deal with all of the drama. Man, oh, man, take a pause, take a breath, and think this through. We're way late on the break. Jack's line is open, 303-696-1971. When we return, we'll be joined by Denver police officer Jonathan Christian right here on 710 KNUS. Man, you hate to step on Jimi Hendrix. But we've got a lot to do. Full lines. We'll get back to your calls shortly. Text messages are pouring into the studio. Randy, what's the latest on Dominion? Big happenings going on in the Joe Altman, Eric Coomer, Donald Trump, Gateway Pundit, and other defendant's lawsuit coming up. Hopefully we'll get a chance to talk about in the election fight overall. Before we get to our very important guest, Denver Police Officer Jonathan Christian, I want to play this very short clip from none other than Bob Woodward. He of the big expose books with hundreds of anonymous sources, you know, dozens and if not hundreds of anonymous sources, things that you can never check out. But this is what he recently said.
If you look at three states, Arizona, Wisconsin, and Georgia, if you flip 45,000 votes, he would have been elected president.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And then we hear from folks that, well, you know, the audit, Biden won by more votes than originally thought in Arizona. People, the details matter. It's not the count. It's the number of legitimate votes. Over 50,000 questionable votes that have been identified in the Arizona audit for a host of different reasons, just in one county, in a state that Donald Trump lost by about 11,000 votes. This battle is not over. And the folks that tell you to move on, or we can't win, or the Denver Post is going to target every candidate, or whatever, ignore them. Or just realize it doesn't matter what they say, because we're on to it. We are like a pit bull with raw meat. And we're getting closer every single day. Forensic audits are being demanded in those battleground states. And we're going to get to the bottom of this before 2022. There's just simply no doubt about it. And we'll try and talk about lawsuits maybe a little bit later in the show if we have time. But I don't want to keep my next guest waiting. I can't say he's become a friend because we haven't really spent that much time together, but I have such a tremendous amount of respect for Denver Police Officer Jonathan Christian. Jonathan, good morning.
Good morning, Randy. How are you?
Good. I really appreciate you popping on, and I know some folks probably saw you on Fox and Friends on Wednesday morning, and thank you for coming into the office to do that. That was a pretty early morning.
It was, yeah. It's usually on my normal shift. That's about the time I'm going to bed.
Yeah.
So waking up at that time is a little early.
A little weird. And then I don't know if you know, but the next day we came back with Jose, and I had to literally let those guys in the office at 3:30 in the morning. So I was up at 2. It's just moving backwards from normal Homo sapien behavior. But it was worth it. I was grateful that Fox thought that the story was important enough to cover. You did a great job, and it was a real honor to meet your fellow police officer and wife as well.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
So the reason I wanted to bring you back on, you filed a religious exemption, but in fact, tell folks what your request for a religious exemption said in general.
So I did. So I filed a religious exemption, but my religious exemption was a lot different than I would say most of the officers that put one in. And mine was basically that I was not going to use my religion as a scapegoat to make a medical decision. I don't believe vaccines are evil. I don't believe people shouldn't get vaccines. I believe that it should be each person's choice to make that decision on their own with their doctors and based off of what they think is best for themselves and their family. And so that was the premise of my exemption. I submitted it. And I was denied, needless to say.
Sure. And have you had COVID?
No, not that I know of.
Okay.
Although I do plan on doing the antibody test just to find out.
Sure. So now most people understand what the deal was. If those who were not fully vaxxed or had made plans to be fully vaxxed within a very short time by the end of September, we're going to be put into the disciplinary process with Denver Police. It's now October 2nd. Have you received your notification of discipline? What's happening?
I have not. So everything seemed to be hanging on October 1st. October 1st was the day I went into work on October 1st and waited for an email or a text message or a phone call, and I didn't get one all day long. So I'm still kind of in limbo right now. I did receive a phone call from one of our deputy chiefs that I respect immensely that wished me luck on my next department. So I felt like that was a pretty good idea of what's coming down the pipe.
Sure. What, was that a sarcastic well wish or somebody who truly cares about you?
No, I think that he actually, I think he truly cares about him and, or truly cares about me. And like I said, he's the deputy chief for the department I have immense respect for. And so he called and just asked, hey, is there anything that we can do to convince you to change your mind? And I said that I love my job. I'm happy to do my job, but I'm not going to get vaccinated. I'm not going to be subject to having a Q-tip shoved up my nose every 5 days. And I'm also not going to be looked down on as one of those on the department walking around with a mask on. I feel like I've made good decisions all of my life, medically related, criminally related. It's one of the reasons I think Denver Police hired me. And after that talk, he wished me the best of luck. He hoped that I stayed in law enforcement and wished me the best of luck on whatever department that I decided to go with.
How long have you worked for Denver Police so far?
It would be 6 years in December.
And what are you, early 30s?
30, yes, sir.
Okay. All right. So now you're just kind of in this, the middle of the great unknown. And I know we'll stay in touch. We filed our petition. You were there with us in court on Tuesday morning. The judge said, look, you can't come here until you go to the Department of Health and challenge this health order there and the response and the ramifications of the health order there. So we filed that petition on Friday. We'll be staying in touch about that. I know you'll let me know if and when you get the notification that you're in the disciplinary process. And what Denver Police said is that you'd be, is it an unpaid leave for 10 days? And then if you're still not in compliance, then a termination. Is that right?
So, yes, that's one of the stipulations also of getting an exemption. And that's if you miss a test or if you're found without your mask, or if you miss a test, you have to be tested every 5 days. If you miss a test, then you're automatically suspended for 10 days. And then if you miss two tests, you'll be dismissed. If you're found without your mask, you will be suspended for 10 days. Found out without your mask, you'll get dismissed. One of the things that they were saying is, hey, if you're not up to date, if you haven't gotten your vaccine card in, if you haven't gotten your exemption in, if you're still on the fence, we're going to automatically suspend you for 10 days come the first. And then after 10 days, if you still haven't gotten everything or shown significant steps of filling those things out, then you'll be dismissed. I put in my exemption that my mind was not going to change. I did not want to be suspended because I think that, I mean, it's 10 days of pay that I have saved up in my banks, that if you're going to already dismiss me after 10 days, I'd rather you just get to the point and dismiss me.
Yeah, I'll let you move on, figure out what's next. Well, we know that there are actual remaining free states in the United States needing high-quality police officers. I don't know if that's an option for you. And, you know, I know we're in kind of a one-day-at-a-time situation. But the thing that I admire so much about you, Denver Police Officer Jonathan Christian, is that you just simply took a principled stand. You didn't... You probably could have gotten a religious exemption. We know people very close to you who did. That's the most likely exemption that folks can get if they're willing to subject themselves to the testing. But you weren't even willing to claim what for some I think is a false religious resistance. Instead, you just told people where you really stand. And I know this puts you in tremendous hardship right now, but that type of principle and that type of decision-making got you where you are to today and will take you very, very far as you move forward. And so I'm just honored and grateful to know you. We appreciate your time on the show today. And I did forward you that email. The Chris Salcedo Show on Newsmax wants to have you on next week. So I hope that comes together. Let's make sure you let me know if that gets scheduled and because we'll put it out on social media and make sure lots of folks get to hear your story. Anything you'd like to leave our audience with, Jonathan?
I would say about the only thing is that, you know, common sense used to mean something. You know, if the vaccine was the answer, if it worked, if you took it and you were protected, if wearing a mask worked, if you wore one and you were protected, staying six feet away from somebody worked and you were protected, then why are people that are afraid of COVID, that are worried about COVID, why aren't they taking those precautions? Why are they forcing me to take those precautions? I feel like for a virus that has an over 99% recovery rate, we shouldn't be forced and subjugated to doing something that we're uncomfortable with.
Well, and as you know, we'll be talking.
Common sense comes back.
As you know, we'll be talking with your friend Jose Manriquez in the 11 o'clock hour, who had COVID, had the antibiotics, extremely healthy, a runner. You're in tremendous shape. So he came back from his COVID last year, and he took the jab anyway because of his four kids and his wife and his family and his future, and now he can't walk. I mean, you've seen him. We helped him in and out of court, had to help him in and out of my office for the Fox and Friends interview that we did on Thursday morning. That's another reason that almost no one is talking about. For a small number of people, taking the vaccine for a disease that you've already beat or that you're fully capable of beating can be a life-altering, perhaps permanently life-altering occurrence, and it should not be forced or coerced at the threat of losing your job.
And it's also, it's infuriating. Jose is somebody that, I mean, if there was, I mean, we're not firefighters, but people relate to this. If you were in a burning building, he wouldn't question running in after you. You know, if there's gunshots happening and he knows that people are in danger, he's going to run towards those gunshots. He's somebody I respect immensely. And the fact that he's going through this is criminal. It's absolutely horrifying.
And it's heartbreaking as well. It's almost too much to bear. Well, Jonathan, we appreciate you. Keep us posted. And again, principle will carry you far in life. And I admire you very, very much. Thanks for your time this morning. God bless.
I appreciate it, Randy. You have a good day.
Okay, you too. Yeah, I mean, this is a guy whose family and, I mean, everything is at stake. And now they've just got him in limbo, very likely to be terminated within the next few days because he's not going to take the unpaid leave. So on and on and on, the stories that never get told. We've got full lines, a short break ahead, and then we'll get to every single one of your calls when we return on 710 KNUS. I know we got full lines, but it's just nice to hear some of the songs of my youth. Welcome back. I'm Randy Corporan, your pumped-up purveyor of principled, passionate patriotism. We'll never back down. We'll never back up. 9:46, 14 to go until 10 o'clock. Good looking day on a Saturday. Man, the sun is out. Fall is here. And time to get things caught up around the house before we get that first snowstorm. Full lines. We're going to talk to Steve, Don, and Scott in that order. Just check the mail. And always love when you guys send stuff in. So thank you very much. One that really stands out, though, are these bumper stickers that Larry mailed in, and I just love them. Freedom, not fear. Choice, not control. Liberty, not lockdown. Vote Republican. And, okay, you know, I like that. Our job is to make sure that Republicans that we vote for like it, too. And that really is the battle of our time right now, isn't it? It's simply unbelievable. One thing I'll say about the interview with Jonathan Christian is people don't know that the health order that mandated this vaccine that's going to cost him his job is did some carve-outs. There was an August edition, and then on September the 1st, the health director of Denver Public Health and Environment, whatever they call that mass mess, did a new order that exempted some folks, like people who work out at DIA. Court judges and clerks and court officials are somehow exempted from this requirement. And there's some other folks in there too. So it just gets into this micromanaging, arbitrary, and capricious decision-making about, who's safe, who we have to protect, who we have to look out for, who we have to tell what to do. Now, there may be some technical reasons for excluding those certain groups that I haven't looked into, but the point is that they think they can do it. And so no matter how many times we lose, no matter how many times we're knocked on our can, we have to get back up and keep pushing back on every single one of these fights. Before we jump to the phones, we'll be hearing in the next hour from a couple of great people. Jenny Beth Martin, I want to talk briefly about the Center for National Policy. I was so excited once I got down there and saw what that thing was all about. And then Hogan Gidley, former deputy press secretary for the Trump administration, just a literal rock star, and got connected with him down there at the Broadmoor last weekend. He now heads up the America First Policy Institute. And just think about what that means, America first. Isn't that the mantra for you and for me? Isn't that what President Donald Trump left for us as the rallying cry? So we're going to talk with both of those fine people in the next hour, but still leave plenty of room for your calls. And let's do some now with Steve in Roxborough. Good morning, Steve. Thank you for the long wait.
Good morning, Randy. I enjoy your reasoned approach to a lot of things. The thing I want to make sure I understand clearly is you were talking about it earlier, but I didn't catch it. You said that there was the vote for the opt-out was one-third of the delegates voted to opt out and two-thirds voted against it?
Correct.
Okay. So help me out here. How can you make it a viable argument that you guys have the support of even your own committee, and then you're going to court to overturn the decision that your own committee made, which shouldn't have even come down to that. The reason that you guys are losing elections is because you're doing stuff like this all the time. You lose a vote and then you sue to get it reversed.
See, that's a misunderstanding. I know there was a ton of talk about that on radio last week, that somehow after the opt-out vote went down 2/3 to 1/3, that we turned around and sued our own party or something like that. That's ludicrous. The entire Central Committee literally unanimously voted to instruct the leadership of the Republican Party to opt out, to file suit to overturn this unconstitutional control of the Republican and Democrat parties. And so, you know, in response to what you said about that's why you guys are losing elections, the people that you're talking about who made the argument that opting out was so dangerous and we need to maintain the status quo, and it's those I'm going to be doing another editorial soon. I don't know if we'll put it in the Post or somewhere else on this myth about unaffiliated voters. But the people who managed to successfully make the argument that opting out would be the death knell of Republicans are the same people who've been in control of this party for the last 20 years, Steve. And we are where we are right now.
I listened to your debate with George Brockler, and he brought up the points that I would have brought up, is that you're telling people that are in the military that their vote doesn't count. You're telling
Steve, in the interest of time, that's no longer the debate. The debate is to take the governmental control out of the decision making on how to conduct primaries for Republicans and Democrats. Parties are private organizations. You can choose to affiliate with them or not, but they should be in control with how they pick their candidates. And so the lawsuit isn't going to mean that we're left with those limited choices that we'd have been left with under the opt-out. It's going to mean that there's no longer any control over it, and we can go back to having a real primary for all Republicans. Doesn't that sound good?
That's what you guys have been fighting. Nobody allows a Republican that's registered in Colorado to vote for who they want to be president unless they're a part of the committee.
Steve, that's not right. That's an argument that was made for the opt-out. We're beyond the opt-out, and everyone supports the idea of overturning an unconstitutional statute that tells political parties how to run their primaries. Then it's our choice. Then we can do it. It won't be a committee vote. It'll be all Republicans who can participate if that's the system that gets designed. So are you not in favor of overturning unconstitutional laws?
Well, the word unconstitutional gets thrown around so much anymore, it's lost its meaning.
Well,
but
U.S. Supreme Court Justice Scalia said, gave the opinion that makes what's going on in Colorado unconstitutional. The GOP attorney has said that he believes it's unconstitutional and an eminently winnable lawsuit. So let's assume that those two men who know what they're talking about are right. Are you in favor of overturning unconstitutional laws that infringe upon the decision-making that Republicans can make for themselves?
I guess, yes.
Okay, fair enough.
Let me make one last point.
I'm going to ask it. Go ahead.
How many people are on the Republican committee that vote right now?
502 on the Central Committee.
Okay, so that's how many people you have in your party right now. the way you set it up or the way you want it set up.
No. You're missing a point. You have to have substructures of an organization. You have a chair and a vice chair. Then you have an executive committee that oversees that person. Then you have a central committee that makes the ultimate decisions for the decision-making body of the party. But then you have thousands of people who participate in precincts and at different levels of the Republican Party. And then you've got Republican voters. My goal is to open up the primary decision-making to all people who care enough about the Republican Party to register as Republicans. Does that sound good to you?
I'm registered as a Republican, and I didn't get a vote.
Steve, I asked you a very simple question. Look ahead now. Stop looking back. Does what I asked you sound good to you?
No, it doesn't. I'd rather go with what the Republican Party itself decided.
It didn't decide. It didn't decide anything. It didn't decide to be under an unconstitutional law. It decided to sue to overturn an unconstitutional law.
And you're going to have some Democrat in a black robe decide for you that you can do it.
Well, it's a very, very strong case, you know, and to not fight because you think you might not win, that doesn't sound very Republican, very American, or very, you know, liberty-oriented to me. But, Steve, I appreciate you waiting to weigh in. Hope to talk to you next week as well. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Randy.
All right. I just love good calls, you know. We don't have to agree, but that was a spirited, fair, and, you know, reasonable. I don't care about reasonable. I guess just, and I'm trying to think of a better word than polite. It was just, thank you, Kelly. Thank you, Sarah. Poor Kelly, man. Haven't you been here since like midnight running the board? Disasters happen. Kelly is the disaster master. He just makes everything go. God bless him. I was going to say Steve's line is open, but it's not. We've still got full lines. We'll get to some calls in the next hour as well. Jenny Beth Martin, Hogan Gidley, all scheduled in the 10 o'clock hour as well. So don't you dare go away. It's Wake Up with Randy Corporan, 710 KNUS.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.